From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. You've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Our speaker is the Reverend Armin Tomassian, Senior Minister of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Currently, Pastor Tomassian is bringing a series of studies in Paul's first epistle to the Thessalonians. Before today's message, we invite your attention to a brief devotional thought from Morning by Morning by C.H. Spurgeon.
This morning's text is found in Isaiah chapter 37 and verse 22. The daughter of Jerusalem hath shaken her head at thee. Reassured by the word of the Lord, the poor trembling saints of Zion grew bold and shook their heads at Sennacherib's boastful threats. Strong faith enables the servants of God to look with calm contempt upon their most haughty foes. We know that our enemies are attempting impossibilities. They seek to destroy the eternal life, which cannot die while Jesus lives, to overthrow the citadel against which the gates of hell shall not prevail. They kick against the pricks to their own wounding, and rush upon the bosses of Jehovah's buckler to their own hurt. We know their weakness. What are they but men? And what is man but a worm? They roar and swell like the waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. When the Lord ariseth, they shall fly as chaff before the wind, and be consumed as crackling thorns. Their utter powerlessness to do damage to the cause of God and His truth may make the weakest soldiers in Zion's ranks laugh them to scorn. Above all, we know that the Most High is with us, and when He dresses Himself in arms, where are His enemies? If He cometh forth from His place, the potsherds of the earth will not long contend with their Maker. His rod of iron shall dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel, and their very remembrance shall perish from the earth. Away, then, all fears. The kingdom is safe in the King's hands. Let us shout for joy, for the Lord reigneth, and His foes shall be as straw for the dunghill. As true as God's own word is true, nor earth nor hell with all their crew against us shall prevail. A jest and byword are they grown. God is with us, we are His own. Our victory cannot fail.
Seems like a tempest when the wave beats.
In these troublesome times for our nation, many people are looking to the government or to social action for a solution. But the only real answer to the human predicament is a true spiritual revival. Many Christians have no idea of what constitutes revival in the scriptural sense. Certainly, the greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost. Down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity, ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of both Duncan Campbell's account of what happened during those revival times on Lewis, as well as a CD containing personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times. The CDs are available to you free of charge, simply by requesting your copies. You may write us at LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may telephone us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. Just request your copies of the CDs of the Revival on the Isle of Lewis. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work. On today's broadcast, Pastor Tamassian continues the theme of the characteristics of a true gospel church from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. In verses 12 through 15, we've seen that a gospel church is a church of peace. In verses 16 through 24, we learn that a gospel church makes progress. In verses 15 through 28, Paul shows that a gospel church is marked by having purpose. In the first place, such a church recognizes the need for prayer. especially for those who are involved in the ministry of the Word. Believers need to pray individually and corporately for God's power upon their minister, as well as upon God's faithful servants worldwide. Now here is Pastor Tomassian to continue this message. A gospel church is a church with purpose.
So let us consider then that a gospel church is a church with purpose, seeing first of all the need for intercession. The need for intercession. Verse 25, brethren, pray for us. This is basically Paul's sole request made to the church in terms of himself. He hasn't asked for money, hasn't asked for anything, but coming near to the very end of the epistle, he throws in there, look, would you pray for us? Would you remember me? Would you remember those that are with me? And if you step back and you just think about the individual making this request, it's a marvel. Here's a man of unusual, indeed, extraordinary gift. A man of extreme intellect, of great knowledge and experience and influence. Even at this stage, still kind of in the middle of his ministry, of his life, even at this point, he had seen tremendous power. The Lord coming with him and working with him and miracles and the evidence of his preaching having a profound impact upon one community after another. And yet he is very conscious of his need of divine help. He was a man of prayer, of that there is no doubt. A man who prayed without ceasing. He begins many of his epistles reminding the people that he remembers them, that he prays for them night and day, praying without ceasing and remembering their work and what they've done and so on and so forth. But he has this air, this atmosphere of prayer that permeates all that he writes. He was a man who lived and breathe the atmosphere of heaven, constantly in communion with God. And even though he walked in these heights that very few, if any, others have experienced of the fallen sons of Adam, yet still he was dependent upon lesser individuals to remember him in the place of prayer. And that is very comforting. It is comforting because the greatness of this man was not merely what he was in and of himself, but what God made him to be. And he acknowledged that himself in his life, that it was by grace that he was what he was. That the Lord's hand had been upon him, and had the hand of God not been upon him, then he would not be anything that he became in the church and in the world. So he asks, pray. Pray for us. Remember us. Those of us involved in the work of God. It's encouraging even to think that he has some sense of appreciation for the meager efforts of lesser Christians. Because he realizes that it's not all about them. But God has so ordered the life of the church and the forward progress of his work so that it hinges upon prayer, not just what is offered from the heart of the individual, but from what is offered by all that are involved in the kingdom of Christ. He sees that the drawing together of the people of God as they seek the face of God for the same matters, the same concerns, the same burdens, that they bring the volume of their influence and the unity of their hearts together before God, and God hears their cry. We have this illustrated for us in the beginnings of the book of Exodus, when it is the concerted cry of the children of Israel, lifting up their hearts together to heaven, that God hears them and responds according to his covenant promises. And it is no different today. It is no different. In Paul's day, it's no different now that The church of Jesus Christ requires, if it's ever going to make progress, it must intercede before God together. And so it has this purpose of praying. That if you have no other ministry, you have this ministry. If you're not involved in anything else, you must see yourself as involved in this. We are not all equal in any aspect of the work of God, but there are certain things that God calls us all to be involved with and in, and this is one of them. Prayer. Brethren, pray for us. Now, he doesn't tell them how to pray as he does elsewhere. And in one sense, perhaps you might think it's obvious what to pray for. But maybe he learned, I don't know, but maybe he learned from his first epistle that he needs to be more specific in giving exactly how to pray, because in other epistles he explains. Let's turn for a moment to see some of them. Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. Romans 15, verse 30. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. So there's a number of requests here. And he specifies, would you pray in this way? But in general, of course, it's for the forward progress of the work that he's involved with. He wants the help of God to be in the things he intends to do, that he may be prevented from being hindered by the enemies, and that his service toward the saints in Jerusalem may be accepted, and then, by and by, he may get to Rome and enjoy the opportunity to be there. Ephesians chapter 6 is another record of a prayer where Paul gives specifics in how to pray for him. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me. As you pray, as you watch, as you wait before God, in your prayers, remember to pray for me. And he clarifies, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. I don't depend upon my own resolve to be as bold as I need to be. I'm not thinking that because I've been consistent up to now that I will be consistent in the future in my responsibility. I need prayer, beloved. Pray for me. And then finally, Colossians. Turn over to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians 4, verse 2. Continue in prayer. Watch in the same with thanksgiving. With all praying also for us. Pray for us. Then clarifies that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Paul needs prayer. He needs support. And those that are with him, they need prayer. And so, this is a responsibility for all the people of God. It is to take upon their hearts the need to pray, and especially in relation to those that are involved in some area of ministry. They're the ones that stand in front of people. individuals come to the fore, the preacher, the minister, the missionaries that are involved in various aspects of the work of God, maybe evangelists and those involved in forms of outreach. And there they are at the forefront, and they're busy and they're involved. But they depend upon, they require, heaven would demand of us that we pray for them. That as we pray, as we seek the Lord, that we remember those that are involved in aspects of the work of God, and we bring them before God. It may seem so little, it may seem so insignificant. A little prayer every now and again as you wait before God, as you pray each day or whatever, you just add in, Lord, bless the preachers, bless this minister, bless this missionary. It may not seem like much asking, Lord, provide, give them power, give them help. And that really doesn't seem like much, and yet it is so crucial. Paul saw it as utterly essential. Brethren, pray for us. And he leaves it here to the end, as often he did, perhaps again not to distract from the main bulk of what he's trying to teach, but also because some of the things that stick more in our minds are the final things that we read. And so if you're ever writing anything, I do this in email. If there's something in an email I want someone particularly not to miss, I don't, at times anyway, I don't include it in the body of the email. I put it in a PS, because I know that will be read more carefully than the actual body of the email. It's just human nature. And so Paul, in one sense, he leads us to the end. I don't want you to forget this. I've just one request. He pulls it in at the end. Brethren, would you pray for us? Would you remember us before God?
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.